It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Blindly Obvious, it's clear as can
be. The Blindly Obvious podcast is for information and entertainment purposes only. All views expressed on this show do not constitute professional advice. We make no representation or warranties regarding the accuracy, completeness, or applicability of the content we express. These are merely our opinions, and as such, we encourage everyone to form your own opinions. So the world leader in value system is America.
Mm-hmm.
So 57% of Americans are for genocide.
Dang. And then we wonder why across the world we see genocide. But you're right. If we are the example, we lead the way and we say, well, sure, we just murder our children in the world. Who cares?
I couldn't tell you where I saw the interview. I couldn't, the specifics, but this guy interviewed a gang member. I don't want to name the group, but MS something on a train. He was interviewing people and he came across this young gang member, and the gang member was telling him, man, you're 10 decisions away of becoming me.
Mm-hmm.
And he painted the picture of what you're talking about, the slow slide to compromise that you tiptoe in, not seeing the full picture, and before you know it, you're doing the very things you abhor.
Amen. And the sad part is, to build upon that even further, is some people are unfortunately just born into that. They never even get to see a reality that is contrary to that. So that's all they know, and that's all they do. So why do we have so much inner city violence? That's the way that they're raised to be. We elect these leaders for decades who promise us positive change, new movement, new ways to go, and we always end up somehow further in the same direction we were headed towards destruction. Well, how could that be?
This isn't a system you can vote yourself out of. This is a value system. This is a heart issue.
But how many people have never been shown good values? They've never had the opportunity to even hear or learn about them.
That's a good question. Okay, so we talked about it before today. If you can't read and you're an adult, that's on you. I get that the school system failed you, but the means, the availability for you to learn to read is literally at your fingertips. From a library to your phone, it's right there. The library is free. So if you don't have phone access, if you're in America, you got access. That's on you.
I can completely agree with that, but I also would say that many people do live in environments that are completely opposing to ideas such as that, right?
I don't disagree.
I mean, but if you think about, as a kid, from the time you were, let's just say 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, you've been selling drugs, kind of doing some, you know, loose end gang banging, let's say. Okay, well, by the time you're an adult, you're a veteran at this. You're making probably a little bit. You got enough money in your pocket to live, to not have a real job. Are you getting ahead? I'm not saying that. But you got enough money to survive. It's all you know. Why would you seek what you didn't know? How could you?
Well, even those gangbangers, the people they often pick to prey upon are the people who are easy targets, which often are people with values, because they don't fight back like a gangbanger would.
Sure, that's fair.
So even that's exposure. They just see it as something to prey on.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for the value system that would actually lead us to a better place, you don't have to look hard or far. In fact, it's actually written on your heart. You just have been writing it off, pushing it out. Yeah.
God does tell us that, doesn't he? He said it's written on every heart.
And you know that because even the gangbanger has a sense of code and honor.
Mm.
Where'd that come from?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, obviously they would point to, well, I got this from there, but
you know,
you're right. Those ideals were written ultimately on our heart. Now they might be being misused.
Sure, sure.
But yes, they're there.
That's what mankind does. We always twist what God made good.
Mm. Man. So then, okay, to push, but you just push back on me. And I'm saying, well, how would we know if we never were heard or never were told? If that's written on our hearts,
you got no excuse.
We have no excuse to at least seek the, hey, man, there's got to be something else out here for me, right? It can't be that I was born to murder my neighbors in the streets, or even beyond that, murder my own family in the womb. I've got to be made for more than that. And yes, you are.
If you truly had an excuse, there would be no hell. We don't like that, but it's just, it's the truth, man. If you truly were incapable, unable, it was all stacked against you, then hell wouldn't be necessary. The reason there's a heaven and there is a hell, both and, is because those who choose evil, and everyone will, but some repent of it,
sure,
and choose God. We have that predisposition in our hearts. We've all chosen evil. And by the way, even if you're a Christian, you will still choose evil. So we're called to constantly repent, okay?
Sure.
So we're every day closer and closer to being conformed to the image of Christ. Not until we are dead and perfected in Christ that does it happen. As long as you're breathing, you're gonna make mistakes. So Right. Just an FYI, everyone out there who isn't a Christian, and you point out our sin, congratulations. Yeah, we're still human. Mm-hmm. We just understand that there's a value system that is not subjective; it's independent of us, and we're as best we can trying to conform to that, not our desires, not our evil, wicked desires that justify the murder of anybody.
Man, could you imagine if we set the standard here that said, you know what, we're not going to do this any longer. We're going to protect both the baby and the mom to the best of our abilities. We're not going to incentivize the idea of murder in the womb. We're not going to play along with the what if scenarios, because we've already decided, hey, you know what, situations do arise. Nobody's ignorant to that, but we're going to do our best to protect all people involved because one's no greater than another. Imagine the standards that would therefore placate across the rest of the world. Murdering innocent people is wrong. That's it.
Can we say murder? Should we say like red rum or something? Like,
no, we're saying murder because that's exactly what it is. These people are being murdered. If you're talking in the womb, if you're talking across the, I mean, there's obviously people being murdered in the womb across the overseas too, but in terms of, you know, war that quote unquote must happen, we got to have these wars. Do we?
We talk about gang violence and as long as it's easier to take what somebody else worked for, as long as that's true, I think you're not going to eliminate this problem. Mm. The reason we do war is the same reason why there's gang violence. It's easier to go take over a weaker country and take their resources, their land, whatever it is, than to go and mine it, work it, earn it yourself.
Sure.
It's the same thing.
And that's no different on the street, right? Hey, if I have control of this block, then I got XYZ coming in versus if I don't.
Right.
Or same, just, exact same concept.
I mean, the reason why theft, it thrives is because it's far easier to spend an hour stealing than 8 hours working.
It's much easier for me to spend 45 minutes at the clinic than to have the next 18 years of my life hampered by whatever I wanted to do.
By the burden of that child that they're going to incur. And you're on your life.
My goodness, man, yeah. If you changed your perspective and actually had that child, your life would change so much for the better. You would work on so many things about yourself to improve, and you would have real purpose to be a better person. How do I know? Because it happened to me. That's how I know.
But Tyler, they say ick. They go, ew, I don't want to do that. Ew. Gross.
I understand. I really do. Because when you're self-absorbed and self-centered, been there, sometimes I fall back into the tendency. That is how you feel. But when you actually get to have the experience of feeling something else, then you go, oh, I didn't know that I could feel this way. And it's much better than I've ever felt before because I'm actually becoming a better person.
There's all these causes that we could all get involved in and try and push back on.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to vote ourselves out of this. We're not going to create a...
Clearly, right?
Right, we're not.
And I don't care what side of the fence, what side of the two... What wing of the same bird you sit on? There we go. That's the best way to put it. I don't care which wing of the bird you're on. At this point, could you honestly look yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? I know if I vote this direction, we're going to really have the change we need. How many more decades of time do we have to see that not be true?
The reason this country was founded and became what it is today was because there was a time when the church acted like the conscience of this country. And we lost that. It informed the conscience of the left and the right paradigm. And if you want to see things change back into that wonderful, bright, beautiful country that we once were, the church is going to have to step back in, because we stepped out. We tried to get politically correct. We allowed ourselves to separate ourselves from the conversation, and we let the secular move into the sacred. And that's what it's taken even us over.
And I think we've allowed, at our country's founding, was it perfect? Heck
no.
We made some great improvements over time, but we allowed, once again, this lie to seep in and say everything about our country's founding was wrong, instead of saying, hey, here's some things we got wrong in the beginning that we've made improvements on, we've offered repentance towards, as far as like, hey, you know what? We don't agree that it's right to own slaves. That's not cool. We're not going to do that. That's turned into everybody at America's founding is racist. They hate people of color. This was never set up for us, when really, if you realize all men are created equal, once that has been passed, these laws serve people of color just as much as they serve people that are not of color.
They are
made for every man and woman.
If you would look at the people who are trying to sell this narrative that you just talked about, I would ask them, so what have you done to stomp out slavery today that's happening in your home country?
Amen.
And they're not. They don't care. And then if you look at what they want to burn down, what do they want to replace America with? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing they have overseas right now. They want slavery. They just don't want to be the slaves. They want to enslave others. They're not giving you a better system. They're giving you what we've gotten out of.
We've bought the lie that, oh, it's a color thing. Really? Because every color has been enslaved by another color at some point. Because it has nothing to do with your color, man. It's your character.
There's not an issue that we're facing today that can't be fixed if we would truly repent and turn to Jesus.
Mm.
The rest of it, it's all noise. Well-meaning noise. People have gotten caught up and believe that if we just did this. No. The just that we have to do is people bow their knee to Jesus. And you will see, not just in America that is great, you'll see a world that's great.
Almost like a heaven on earth, huh?
It'll be the closest we can get.
Mm.
And that's why I have refused to get caught in the fray of all these other side movements and arguments, because I can simply say, if people truly turn to Jesus, not the Jesus of their imagination, okay? The Jesus described in Scripture, values everything. Read your Bible, folks. If we turn to Him and truly practice loving God and loving others, treating your neighbor the way you want to be treated, treating others, strangers, your enemy, the way you want to be treated, you would change this whole world for the better. Turn to Jesus. And that's it, man. That's why I refuse. I don't care about all the side movements and arguments and whatever. It's just noise to me. Turn to Jesus.
Not only is it noise, though, how long have we tried the other options? We've tried the, if we could just change this, if we could just do that.
Mm-hmm. But
it all ends the same. I don't care who presents it. Red side, blue side, purple side. Doesn't matter. If it was just this.
If there's Christians in the Democratic Party, you need to stand up and be heard. If there's Christians in the Republican Party, you need to stand up and be heard.
How about Christians just get out of the political parties in general, and hopefully all people will follow suit, and we can just become the American Party for America. That's it. We all live in America. We all want America to succeed. We all benefit when America prospers. We are all created equally, men and women, with sovereign rights given to us by who? Our Creator? Right. Okay. So why then, I'm Republican, so I mean, my goodness, those same things couldn't be given to the Democrats. And I'm Democrat, and those couldn't possibly be given to the Republicans. You already lost.
I love what you're saying, and I think, you know, like, you're on a journey, right? And it's taken a while for you to get where you are.
Oh, yeah.
And don't
yeah,
you, yeah. It's like I keep asking myself, because I, like you, I mean, I think I was much more evil than you ever were, but it's like, you know, what could somebody have said to me in a podcast like we're doing right now that would have made me hit pause? You know what I mean? Like where you'd rethink your life. And I guarantee you, we didn't talk about it today.
Yeah. I don't think you're wrong. I don't know what you could say to somebody though, to, I don't think there's a specific phrase, right, that you could say X, Y, Z, and then everybody goes, oh, yeah.
Your mind's blown, right?
Because everybody's going to have their own different point of arrival.
It's so hard. You know, there's nature, nurture, all those things. Yeah. And I think they all play a role. But regardless of what hardened your heart, there are some people's heart that it won't change. It won't change.
I would say very few people could point at one specific situation and say, that's what hardened my heart. I'm not saying there are any. There are some who go through just catastrophic, unimaginable things, right? That you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy. And they just, man, that just turned me in the wrong direction. But I think most people go down the slippery slope that we just described, that they started at the top of the hill and they looked to the bottom and they saw what was going on from people that were down there. And they said, oh, there's no way, I'd never do that. And then just a short while later, they're at the bottom of the hill.
There have been things that we've done in our life that initially when we started, we were ashamed of. But as time went on,
we justified.
It bothered us less and less, yep, to the point where it stopped bothering us at all.
I'll give you a prime example of my own life that I'm just working through right now. For me, marijuana usage, started out using it a couple times a week, no big deal, great. Don't mind it, like it, chills me out. Move on, a couple months later, I'm using it maybe 3 or 4 times a week. All right, whatever. Still cool. Not losing any function, right? Not falling short on any obligations. And then, you know, a few months beyond that, who cares? I just start to care less and less. Now, all of a sudden, I'm using it every day. And then that goes from, I'm not just using it every day, I'm using it throughout the day. Why? Because I went down the slippery slope. I stopped caring. And I just leaned into what I should have leaned away from. Mm.
To me, on the opposite side of that, there are things that once I was repulsed by. I there was nothing about Christ and the church that I wanted anything to do with. It was not part of my ethos, my thinking, my wants, right? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I came to the end of myself where what I had become had matured into the death that it was. And it was going to be the death of me. And I've told this story before, but I had nothing to lose. I was already going to die, unalive, be unalived, if you will. Mm-hmm. And when God intervened in my life, I gave God a chance to show me he was real.
Well, so you were at the end of the rope of like, well, hey man, I already tried everything else. So if it ain't you, this is it.
Everything the world said would make me happy didn't make me happy. I could put a smile on like anybody else can.
You probably drove your car a little faster down the highway in terms of your journey to that process, but how many people are doing the slow drip version of that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, I got there real fast. What, 17, 18 years old, somewhere mm-hmm. in there. I got there real quick and I was done. I had no will to continue. My thought was, well, I see the intervention. It doesn't matter what it was. I see the intervention that God has done in my life. I can't deny it. So God, if you're real, help, show me. Do your thing. And he did.
And just think about that throughout people's lives. We find ourselves in these patterns of like maybe blissful pleasure states for a while where we think we found some happiness, right? But then eventually that starts to drift and you start wandering again. And you spend your life constantly seeking and looking for something that some unfortunately never find. So I consider myself very blessed to have got to find it so early, right? At 30... say probably 27 years old-ish is when I really got started in a serious capacity, but probably more so around 30 when I actually would say, hey, this makes sense to me, right? It connects. What a blessing.
It reminds me of a song that I heard as a kid. It's it was a hit, you know, for a while because it struck a chord with so many people. And I don't know if this is the title of the song, but it's one of the sentence in the chorus. It was looking for love in all the wrong places. And it's, there's so many of us, we're looking for not just love, but for happiness, for peace, for joy in all the wrong places. And then when you finally find the right place, you're like, it was right there the whole time. It was exactly right in front of me. I just refused to even give it a try.
Well, isn't that mapped out perfectly for us in Luke chapter 24, where you have the couple individuals who are walking with Jesus and never come to the conclusion that they were with Jesus until he was gone? But man, is that us?
Yeah.
Is that us? Isn't Jesus amongst us right now? The Holy Spirit, where two or more are gathered, there I am. Or is he not with us all the time and we just fail to see his glory? This has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
We're walking past the signs each day. In little things missed along the way, the symbols hidden in glamour's light, blindly obvious, but out of sight. Misdirection, the magician's lie. A trick so good you don't ask why. The truth, it sits with open arms, but we fool ourselves with deception's charm. Blindly see it. The roads lead back to you.